part of that's because of these that have been brought back into our lives. Melinda Avery, I spoke about earlier. There's another young lady that's a good friend, Janice's best friend when we were living in Florida, that's brought some issues, some family issues to us that we've been praying about. But primarily because I see the decadence in our country. And I wonder, as we come to the end of one year and the beginning of another, and I'm having difficulty believing that we're there. Because 2014 has gone too quickly.
Amen.
And 2015 is upon us. But I wonder, what is it that the new year brings as we put 2014 in the history books, and as 2015 dawns upon us, and as we enter that year, what does it hold? I don't know. But I do know who holds 2015 in the palm of his hand, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to stand for the reading of God's word, and we'll get into it this morning. There's two passages, one in Ezekiel. That's in the Old Testament, by the way. It's over there between Jeremiah and Daniel. And then I want to open from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, Ezekiel chapter 22. And in Ezekiel chapter 22, in the first part of the chapter, God is revealing to Ezekiel the problems of the nation of Israel, the blatant sin, the corruption that has infiltrated the nation of Israel from the government to the priest, from the house that leads and rules to the house that leads in worship. And he's about to bring judgment upon the nation of Judah. And he says in verse 30, "And I searched for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one." And that hit me pretty hard, because I believe that's the word that God is saying to me today in our nation. As it parallels to the nation of Israel, and as judgment, if end times prophecy, and those who talk about end times prophecy, is indeed upon us, then our days are numbered. And there needs to be somebody to stand in the gap to begin to turn the tide of corruption and sin in our nation. But then I thought, as God said, "I found no one." Why? Why is there no one? There are churches everywhere. There are people who claim to be the people of God everywhere. So why is there no one to stand in the gap? And then God gave me the passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If there's anything that we need in America today, it's revival. Personal revival for me. Personal revival for you. Personal revival for our church in this community. Revival where we
really get serious about our relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Been reading a book by David Platt called Radical Together. I know there's a book called Radical that goes before it that talks about personal revival, but this one talks about revival in the church. And it talks about really getting serious about who we are as the people of God and getting serious about following in obedience to the plan of God. And God has been dealing with me that in that respect. But in answer to Solomon's question, Solomon had come to the Lord and in following the instructions of God to build the temple, he had said, well, what if Israel turns its back upon God? What if we turn away from God? He says in verse 12 of chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles, then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens, so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people and my people. Listen, he's talking to us, folks. My people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land.
Amen.
May God bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated.
Excuse me just a minute. My nose is running.
But as I thought about the fact that in the parallel between Israel and America today, we were a nation founded upon the Word of God, a nation based on Judeo-Christian principles. And it seems that those principles have very little meaning in society today. It seems that the corruption that had infiltrated the Israeli people from the government to the priesthood has also infiltrated in America. We've lost our way. And if you and I are going to be able to stem the tide of corruption and sin in America today, there needs to be revival. How is that revival going to take place? It has to begin with me. And the formula for revival is right here before us. He says, if my people are called by my name, humble themselves. There needs to be humility. Humility is the position of a servant to a king. It is the recognition of who God is and who I am in relationship to who God is. It is the understanding that he's God, I'm not. It is the understanding that he's the one who created the world with the sound of his voice, who created man out of a lump of clay and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, and I am but his servant. And my relationship to him is to be one, first of all, of praise. My relationship to him, secondly, is to be one of obedience. God speaks, but do we listen? We need revival in America today. And if that is going to happen, then there must be
an humbling of the people of God and a recognition of who we are and whose we are in relationship to who God is. He says there must be prayer. And I'm not talking about the repetitious things that we go about saying around the table before we eat a meal. I'm not talking about the repetitious prayers that we teach our children. I'm talking about heartfelt talking to God.
Amen.
More often than not, our prayers turn into a list of wants where we treat God like a souped-up Santa Claus and we give Him all of the things that we need, we think we need in life. More often than not, they're wants rather than needs. And we expect Him to pop out of the bottle like a genie and answer every request that we put before Him. But prayer is talking to God, and then it's listening to God.
Amen.
We do most of the talking in our prayers and very little listening. How do we hear from God? This is the Word of God.
Amen.
And we need to pray with our Bibles open. And we need to seek to hear from God, not hear just the sound of our own voice as we make our request made known to Him. And we need to do that, but we need to hear from God. What is it that God's trying to say? What is He trying to say to my life? What is He trying to say to Lamar Street Baptist Church? What is He trying to say to the people of God in the day and age in which we're living? There must be humility, there must be prayer, there must be a seeking of God's face. My firstborn grandson, when he was just a little bitty fellow, I can remember when he had come to our house and he'd climb up into my lap there, and I'd usually be watching TV or something, and he'd be trying to talk to me or get my attention or something, and I wasn't paying much attention to him. I had other things on my mind, and he'd reach up and he'd put his hand on my chin, and he'd turn my head toward him, and he'd say, Paul. He was getting my attention.
Amen.
We need to get God's attention, but first of all, God needs to get our attention. There needs to be that relationship between us and the Lord God Almighty where we're listening. God has our attention. And when God gets our attention, then we'll have His. But fourthly, and most importantly, there's got to be repentance. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. The morning when God woke me up, and when these things about several of these people began to come upon me, God began to press them upon me in such a mighty way, and I would lay there and I'd pray and the tears would flow and I'd pray some more. And God began let me know that there were some things not right in my own heart and life, and I began to mentally go through the Ten Commandments. You say, Pastor, we're under grace and none under law, but yes, the law was there to remind us of our need of a Savior. The law is there to define sin. And I began to mentally go through the Ten Commandments, and if you want to turn there, they're in Exodus chapter 20. And he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And I had to ask myself, are there times when I allow things to come between me and God? And I had to say yes. Thou shalt not make unto yourselves any graven images. And are there things that I have done to put these things in the place of God in my life? He says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet your neighbor's things. And I had to, first of all, say, well, there's a lot of these things I haven't done. I began to convince myself and try to convince God I'm not a bad person. But then in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, he defines murder in terms of hate. And there's been some people I wanted to tear their heads off. And he defines adultery in terms of lust. In verse 27. And then he goes on to sum up the Ten Commandments in two. To love the Lord our God with all of our hearts and all of our minds and all of our souls, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I had to say, I have failed miserably. What I'm saying to you, folks, we need revival. I need revival. And I believe that we at Lamar Street Baptist Church need revival, where we get serious about following the leadership that our pastor is providing, where we get serious about praying and supporting one another spiritually, and where we get serious about the things that Jesus is serious about. The church is not about programs, it's about people. Church is not about buildings, it's about making disciples. The church is not about you and me, it's about Jesus. And we need to get back to making the main thing in each of our lives and in the life of our church. Until we do that, then when God cries out for somebody to stand in the gap, he's going to have to say, I find no one. I know if you're like me, we often feel pretty helpless because of the situation our country is in. We see what needs to change. We see how we need to get back to being the people that God established us to be from the beginning, and we wonder how we can do it. We feel powerless to do it. But beloved, I believe that if we get serious about being God's people where we are, and we get serious about praying, and we get serious about doing the things that are important to Jesus, then we'll be able to do more than you think and more than I think to turn the tide of sin and corruption in our world. I want to call us to revival today. I want to ask you to join me in personal revival, where we at Lamar Street Baptist Church, as we close out 1 year and begin anew, get really serious about the things that Jesus is serious about. Would you do that? Let's pray together. Father, we come before you this morning and our hearts are breaking. Our burden is heavy. We look out and we see the people of God here this morning, and I'm so thankful for everyone that's here, for the people that you brought in to our lives, for making me a part of this fellowship. Because, Lord, this is family, and I love these folks with all of my heart. But, Lord, help us to get serious about the things that you're serious about. Help us to experience revival, not only in our individual lives, but in our corporate life as a church. Help us to be about the business of reaching the lost and making disciples in our community, in our town, in our state, and in our nation and world. We ask now for your forgiveness in Jesus' name. Amen. Our pastor's going to stand here. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. Maybe you need to come and pray at the altar. Maybe you need to come and just take a stand with me and the pastor this morning. He didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't really know what I was going to do this morning. This is God's thing. But if you'd like to come up here and just take a stand and say, I desire personal revival in my life, and I desire revival in our church, and I desire to do the things this coming year that are important to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to come. So let's stand together. We're going to sing
Softly and Tenderly, page 312.
Softly and Tenderly, page 312. You come as God leads.